If you have your Bibles this morning, turn with me, please, to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter number 13. 1 Corinthians, chapter number 13. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy, and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. Let's see, is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. Whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child, and I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. In the verse, let me look at it here. Verse number 8, the Word of God said, charity never faileth. I want you to remember that, okay? Now I want you to turn to 1 John. Turn to 1 John. Then we're going to the Old Testament. I told you need to stay with me. 1 John chapter, I think it's number 4. I've got a little marker here. I'm going to have to get me another Bible. This one's falling apart. 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 7. These are two different writers under the same inspiration. Paul is writing to the church at Corinth. And here John, the beloved disciple, is writing. He said, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God." Remember this phrase right here, for God is love. Okay, you got those things? Charity never faileth. God is love. Okay, let's read on. "And this was manifested, the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation, the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another." Now I'm going to ask a question. Would it be an injustice to go back to verse number 8 in 1 Corinthians and say this, God never faileth? 1 John said, God is love. Charity, we know in 1 Corinthians chapter number 13, we know that is that agape, that love of God we talked about last week. That love of God is essential. That love of God is enabling. And that love of God is enduring. Now I would like for you, is everybody on the page so far? God, now, if I told you God never fails, everybody would have been in agreement with that, right? But I'm tying this together now, okay, with 1 Corinthians chapter 13, God never faileth. And I'll go back in the chapter a little bit later on, but I wanted you to see how it was birthed in my heart. Now let's go to the book of Genesis, please. The book of Genesis. We're going to spend a little bit of time in the book of Genesis. Genesis, I believe we're going to start out in verse number 50 and then go back and then come back. You remember the story if you've studied the Bible. If you haven't, I'm going to be telling you some of the highlights of the life of Joseph this morning. But here we are at the end of his life, at the end of his days, and let's read this in its context. First start with verse 15. And when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, Joseph will peradventure hate us. That'd be just the opposite of love, wouldn't it? They said, Joseph will hate us and will certainly requite us or require of us or get even with us for all the evil that we did unto him. And they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, Thy father did command before he died, saying, So shall you say unto Joseph, Forgive, I pray thee now, the trespasses of thy brethren and their sin, for they did unto thee evil. And now we pray thee, forgive the trespasses of thy servants of God, of the God of thy father. And the Bible said, And Joseph wept when he spake with them, unto him. And his brethren also went and fell down before his face, and they said, Behold, we be thy servants. And Joseph said unto them, Listen to this, please, carefully and closely. Fear not, for am I in the place of God? Am I in the place of God? But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now therefore fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them, and he spake kindly unto them. Pray with me a moment, would you please? I desire your prayers. Father, I thank you this morning for these that have gathered in the house of God. And Lord, we come together today to worship you, to learn of you. Lord, my desire is to be more like you. And I pray, dear Father, that you would put that desire in every heart. And Lord, we know the first step in that is trusting you as our Savior. And Lord, there are many here today that have made that step of faith. They have trusted you. And yet, Lord, there are some that have not. Lord, it's our desire, as it was the Apostle Paul's, that folks would trust you. Know, Lord, the joy of sins forgiven. Know the peace that comes from knowing Jesus. And knowing, Lord, when we pillow our head at night, that heaven will be our home if we don't wake up in the morning or if Jesus comes in that eastern sky. Now, Father, today I pray you'd strengthen us. I understand full well, Lord, that this may not be a message where we run the aisles and shout. But, Lord, this may be a time of teaching, a time of learning. And I pray, God, that you would help me to convey to others what you've taught me in the spirit of the study. God will give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen. You might ask yourself the question this morning, Pastor, why would you start in 1 Corinthians and then go to 1 John and then come back over here? There's only one way that Joseph, after everything that was done to Joseph, can have this attitude in the end of his life. There was somebody dwelling on the inside of him. Joseph was not the one controlling his life. As a matter of fact, that's what the Spirit-filled life is about. When the Bible said, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. What the Bible is telling us there is that when a man gets drunk, he's under the influence of alcohol. But when a man is filled with the Spirit, he's under the influence of the Spirit of the living God. When Joseph says this here, when he says, "Am I in the place of God?" He is not under the influence of his flesh. He is under the influence of God Almighty, the God of heaven. Now, this is going to be hard for me, even through this message, to remember, because it's like a tongue twister, okay? But here's the question this morning. The Bible said, Joseph said here, "Am I in the place of God?" Or as God's people, what we could do is turn that question around and say, "Is God in the place of me?" Did everybody hear what I just said? Am I in the place of God, or is God in the place of me? Let me say this to you. The only way, turn back to 1 Corinthians just quickly, and then I'm going to show you a little bit about the life of Joseph. The only way that charity suffereth long is not me being in the place of God, but God being in the place of me. We all have flesh. Would somebody help me right there? I'm talking about in our homes. I'm talking about in our country. I'm talking about on the job. I'm talking about in the house of God. What would it do if everything that we went to look at, everything we went to listen to, if we asked the question, is this God having His way in my life? Or is this me having my way in my life? If I am vindictive and I want to get even with somebody, am I in the place of God, or is God in the place of me? Jesus cried from the cross, we know He did, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." They're stoning Stephen to death. And Stephen says, "Father, lay not this sin to their charge." Is that right? You know what I believe? I believe God was in the place of Stephen. Would somebody help me right there? Amen. And I believe that when we look at this, the Bible said charity envieth not. In other words, if I'm envying someone, they've got a nicer car, they've got a nicer home, they wear nicer clothes. If I'm envious of someone, then listen, am I in the place of God? Or is God? Because if God is in the place of me, envy has to go away. If God is in the place of me, pride has to go away. If God is in the place of me, then I'm not going to behave unseemly. I'm not going to seek my own. I'm not going to be easily provoked. I'm not going to be thinking the worst, thinking evil of others. Is anybody getting this morning? God is love. And God never fails. And in the book of Genesis, let's go back there now. That's enough for the introduction. Let's go back here to the book of Genesis once again. And let's look about three things that I think are very, very important in our lives. Three areas in our lives. Go back, if you will, to Genesis chapter number 37. I can't take the time to read. This is what I'd like for everybody to do. This is your assignment. If you really want to get a hold of what God is trying to say to us this morning, I want you to start in Genesis chapter 37 and read the rest of the book of Genesis. It all centers around Joseph. And Joseph in the Bible, nowhere is it said, but I don't think you could find a more perfect type of the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing negative is ever recorded about Joseph. We know he was a man like you and I are. But nothing negative is ever recorded about him. Amen. He was tempted, yet he withstood the temptation. He took a Gentile bride. Amen. There's all kinds of things. He was rejected of his brethren. And there's just all kinds of ways that Joseph's life lines up. He was rejected of his brethren, and later, glory to God, that's what Brother Jason was teaching about this morning, receives his brethren. Amen. And so, there's three things right here that I would like to bring about, and I just wrote down three things right here on a piece of paper at 3:30 this morning as God was dealing with my heart. The Bible said here in Joseph in verse 37, chapter 37, he dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger. These are the generations of Jacob. Verse 3, now Israel loved Jacob more, Joseph, more than all of his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. And the story goes something like this. His brethren were jealous. His brethren were envious. And God gave Joseph a dream. And Joseph shared that dream with his father. And he shared that dream with his brethren. And his brethren became very jealous of him. And they were first going to kill him. They said, no, let's not kill him. Let's just sell him. Let's make a little money. Amen? Money's the root. No, the love of money is the root of all evil. Amen? So they sold him out. And what I'm trying to tell you is, when trials come in your life, it would be good to stop. How many knows they're coming? The trials are coming, amen? And when trials come, it would be good to stop just a moment and say, am I in the place of God, or is God in the place of me? By the way, I want to say this about Job. I believe God was in the place of Job. How else do you bury 10 children? How else do you lose everything you've got? How else do you say, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away? Blessed be the name of the Lord. How else can that be? There's no man got that in him by himself. That's that Savior that lives down on the inside of us. And I believe when trials come, and they will, we need to ask ourselves a question. Am I in the place of God? You see, or is he in the place of me? If we will yield to him, how many's ever learned this? If we will yield to him, I love an old song. I've not heard it in years. My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is follow. I remember a time when I was seeking God's will in my life, and I was at the time memorizing Psalm chapter 1. And I was working on it, Brother Brian. I got down to verse number 6, and God stopped me on, the Lord knoweth the way. And I said, hallelujah, God, I don't know the way, but you know the way. Amen. There's one living inside of us when the trials come that knows the way. You see, the same God that parted the Red Sea is the same God that lives in you and lives in me. And God wants us to understand that when we're faced with that trial like Joseph was, I'm telling you, Joseph could have been so bitter that he could bite a nail into. And maybe I shouldn't say this morning, but I've got a brother that way. He hasn't spoken to me since my dad died in 2015 over something as stupid as a tractor. And I will promise you this, my brother, what he said to me was, I don't know why you didn't buy a tractor. I borrowed my dad's tractor. And if my dad didn't want me to borrow it, I think he's man enough to say, son, no, you don't need to use it. He was glad to let me use it. And I don't know what it was any of his business. But I'm going to tell you something right now. I about promise you this. Maybe one day he'll hear this on the internet. He probably don't know that I offered to buy my dad's tractor. And it wouldn't have mattered what price Dad put on it. If he had put twice what it was worth on it, I'd have bought it, because he told me he was going to buy the lady that he was married to a car. And I would have given him the money for it. Amen. It wasn't about the money. Amen. But we can get bitter over anything. That's what I'm trying to say. The trials are going to come. Amen. And just a little thing to go along with that. Thanksgiving morning a year ago, I drove all the way to my brother's house. It's about an hour and a half away. Why? Because I dreamed that we sat around the table and drank coffee and fellowshiped the way we once did. You say, are you bitter against your brother? Not at all. I pray for him often. I would love for the phone to ring. I would love for the phone to ring. Let me ask you a question. Has anybody else got anything like that at all going on in your family or your life? You see, You say, Pastor, are you putting your brother down? You're getting it the wrong way if you think that. Because I stand here this morning and tell you it's the grace of God. I'm not bitter. It's the grace of God. I have the liberty to read the Bible and God speaks to my heart. It's the grace of God. Joseph's not bitter. If Joseph could stand here today, he'd say, listen, it's not me. It's him. It's him. When the trials come, we could ask ourselves the question, am I in the place of God, or is God in the place of me? God never faileth. Never faileth. Never. Never has. Never will. Is that a blessing? That's the God we serve. The second area, and there's all kinds of preaching you could do right there, but it's not really 5 minutes till 11. The second area, turn over to chapter number 39. In chapter number 39, Joseph is brought down to Egypt in verse 1. Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, he bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. What's the next word say right there? And the Lord was with Joseph. That makes all the difference in the world. You see, if the Lord's not with us, then we don't even have the opportunity to ask the question, am I in the place of God or is God in the place of me? But what I want you to understand in this right here, and the Lord was with Joseph, is this. He wasn't bitter. He wasn't, even early on, he's not bitter at his brethren. He knows what they've done. He knows they've done wrong, but he's not bitter at them. I personally believe that the trials of life, Brother Preston, either make us bitter or they make us better. And the only way they ever make us better is if he has his way. And I quit having my way. That's the only way those trials can ever make me a better person. I wish I could go through life, and don't you wish you could go through life without trials? Don't you wish, Brother Brian, you didn't have all them doctor visits and tests and all that? You know what I mean. But God, the man that got up behind the organ, don't strike me as a bitter man. He knows his Father knows best. He's leading the way. So here we are in chapter 39, and Joseph is exalted now in the house of Pharaoh. God just puts it all in his control. And drop on down in verse number 8, and well, let's read verse number 7. Well, I'll read verse 6 too. I'll let you know how exalted Joseph was. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand. This is Potiphar. And he knew not aught that he had, save the bread, which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. What that's saying right there, you can't see it in the Hebrew, but he was good looking like your pastor. I know. Y'all need to wake up and grin a little bit once in a while. Amen. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife, Potiphar's wife, cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, lie with me. You know, I always thought this was a thing of recent years where the girls were the aggressors, but evidently way back here, there's one that was the aggressor. Amen? And she said, lie with me. And she's not talking about telling a lie. She's talking about going to bed with him. But he refused and said unto his master's wife, behold, my master wotteth not. He doesn't know, in other words, what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I. Neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee.
That's almost like going back to the garden, ain't it? God said, you can have it all,
but there's a tree over there. Don't eat of that tree of knowledge of good and evil. Watch what the Bible said. Because thou art his wife. Then said I, he said, how then can I do this great wickedness and sin against Potiphar? If he had committed adultery, would it have been a sin against Potiphar? Would it have been a sin against Potiphar's wife? Would it have been a sin against his own body? But here's where Joseph is. How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? And here's what God wants us to see. Every one of us are going to go out of this building. Not only are we going to face trials in life, but we're going to face temptations in life. And when we face that temptation, we ought to ask ourselves the question, am I in the place of God? Or is God in the place of me? Did you know that same button that turns that television on can turn it off? Amen. How many's ever sat there and grieved the Holy Ghost and watched something, beloved? That, you know why? Because you were in the place of God. You wasn't listening to Him. Amen. You were having your own way. I was having my own way. But if God's in the place of me, it grieves us, doesn't it? Amen. Phones, computers, there's filth. There's garbage everywhere. Amen. But I'm telling you, if we would just stop when faced with that temptation and realize there's a holy Savior that lives inside of me. That, listen, I think I can get this right. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. Right? What did the Bible say? But God is faithful. Boy, there it is again. I didn't even plan on quoting that verse. Who will with the temptation also make thee a way of escape that you'll be able to bear it. There's times, beloved, the Bible said, having done all, to stand. It wasn't time for Joseph to stand. It was time for Joseph to run. I don't know where his Nikes were, but he found them in a hurry. Amen. He runs so fast out of there, he left his garment. It's more than just in the end, and we'll get to that in a moment. Am I in the place of God? Joseph is telling his brethren, listen, the Bible said this. Here comes another verse. Vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. The Bible talks about doing good. And so doing, heaping coals of fire. Let God handle that. Amen. Am I in the place of God? When that temptation comes. Now Joseph is falsely accused. Here's another trial. But you know what? You can go down there in the dungeon. I called it the prison for years because the Lord was with Joseph in the pit. He was with Joseph in the Potiphar's house. He was with Joseph in the prison. And he was with Joseph in the palace. That's an easy way for me to remember it. But when I was reading this morning early, over and over, it's called a dungeon. It's dark. It's cold. It's a place for prisoners. But even there, the Lord is with Joseph. He found favor even there. And that's where he interpreted the dream of the butler and the baker. And because of that, a little later, Pharaoh's going to have a dream. And there, which one was it? Was it the butler that was restored or the baker? I believe it was the baker that was restored. No, it was the butler that was restored, I believe, the one with the cup. And the baker got his head took off, amen? But listen to me. Later on, Pharaoh said, who's going to help me with this dream? Pharaoh has a dream. He said, I remember now. He forgot Joseph. But he said, I remember now. There's a guy down there in the prison. You want to know what's going on in this dream? Get him up here. And old Joseph come up there and he said, here's what's going to happen. He said, there's going to be 7 years of plenty. And he said, then there's going to be 7 years of famine. And so they took 1/5 part of the corn for those 7 years and they set it back.
And what happens, beloved, is down in Israel, there's a famine. There's a dearth in the land. Amen. But because of Joseph and because of his relationship with God, there's corn to feed the people. I want to show a hands right now. How many will read Genesis chapter 37 all the way to chapter 50? You're in for a blessing. I'm telling you, you're in for a blessing. You read it. Get the details. Get you a pencil out or a highlighter. Amen. God will bless you for that. And God will help you to see the importance. Michael, you ever get aggravated at work? If you would have said no, Michael, I don't know what I would have done. I probably would have died of a heart attack. Amen. Caleb, you've got a real good personality. Do you ever get aggravated? All the time. Well, if you don't quit taking my windshield wipers and folding them up, I'm gonna get aggravated. Amen. Amen. The trials. He's in another trial. Am I in the place of God? Or is God in the place of me? God never faileth. Charity never faileth. When there's a failure in my life, you put that on my account. Because my God has never failed. Watch this now. You come on over and Joseph interprets the dream and they've put up the corn and now Joseph's brethren are sent by their daddy down to Egypt to get corn. By the way, if you read this and you believe the Bible, Brother Vince, they would have starved to death if it hadn't have been for Joseph. Joseph in his dream, see, in the beginning, he saw those where their sheaves were bowing down to his sheaves. They said, we ain't never going to bow down to you. You get hungry enough, you'll bow. Somebody say amen right there. And so they come, and they come for corn. They heard that there was corn in Egypt. I need to wrap this up. But let me give you this. Joseph, the first time he gave them some corn, put their money back in their sacks, and they went back home, and they were kind of shocked. The second time, they ask about a brother. You have a brother? How's your father? He's asking about his own family, but they don't know it. He's speaking through an interpreter. I'm going to tell you something. You wait till you see Joseph's heart. In this text, you wait till you see his heart. He would go kind of behind closed doors, we would say, and weep out loud. Because he wasn't bitter. He wasn't carrying an unforgiven spirit. Those were his brethren. He loved them. Not only do we need to ask, am I in the place of God or is God in the place of me in our trials and in our temptation? But it would be good to ask, am I in the place of God or is God in the place of me in our treatment of others? I think it was Mark, I looked it up, Matthew, I'm sorry, I looked it up a while ago, 7:12. Let me just look there because I don't have the verse memorized. I know the gist of it. Everybody look at it with me. Matthew chapter number 7 and verse number 12. It's in Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. It's very powerful. Jesus said, therefore all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do you even so to them. For this is the law and prophets. There's only one way that that's going to happen. And that is if God has His way in my life. That's not going to happen if I'm running it. But if God has His way, that can happen. I can stop a minute and do unto others as I would have them do unto me. You say, Pastor, have you always done that? No, I haven't. Has anybody ever spoken hastily before?
Has anybody ever spoken out of frustration, out of aggravation? Probably too. What are you laughing at over there, sis? Amen. Is it him or you? Both of you. Well, you're still together. You've made it this far. Hang in there. Amen. Amen. I won't stop and tell that. Some of you have heard it anyway. But Joseph gets down to the end of his life here, and as you're going through there, he has dinner with them. They dine with him at noon. And in verse 23 of chapter 43, he said, "Peace be unto you, fear not. Your God, the God of your father, hath given you treasure in your sacks. I had your money, and I brought Simeon out unto them." In verse 34, he said, "He took and sent messes unto them from before him, but Benjamin's mess was five times so much as any of theirs, and they drank and were merry." I wrote the word grace beside of that, Brother Chris. I'm telling you. Amen. And then the cup was found in Benjamin's sack, and that was Joseph's way of getting the whole family to Egypt. He was going to hold on to Benjamin until Daddy got there. Daddy couldn't believe it. See, they had dipped Joseph's coat of many colors in blood. The blood of an animal. I think it was a goat. Was it a goat? Anyway, they dipped it in blood and deceived. They were not only mean to their brother, Joseph, but they deceived their father and let their father believe that his son of his old age was dead. Deception. In our treatment of others, we come over to chapter number 50, to our text. You can see that Jacob has tried to line this up for his sons. He's tried to, even Jacob is not convinced. Somebody say amen that Joseph's going to have this kind of heart. He's not convinced of that. He's wanting to soften this blow, but he believes there's a blow coming. But Joseph said, "Am I in the place of God? Say unto Joseph, forgive, I pray thee, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin." That's hard to do. Sometimes it's called something sin, ain't it? It's easy to call sodomy sin. It's hard to call pride sin. Somewhere in the book of Proverbs, I think it's chapter number 6, "These 6 things doth the Lord God hate. Yea, 7 are an abomination unto him. The first one is a proud look. And the last one is he that soweth discord among the brethren." We're good at, oh, look at that drunkard. Look at that harlot. Look at that sodomite. And all of that is sin. But I'm telling you, the place it's hard for all of us to look is in the mirror. And realize, it's me, O Lord. It's not my brother. It's not my sister. But it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Am I in the place of God? Or is God in the place of me? I mentioned to someone a while back about being guilty, and I don't know that I have since I've been here, but when you're young especially, Brother Chris, this is personal, but have you ever gotten the flesh in the pulpit? It gets cold, don't it, brother? Brother Brian, do you, Brother Vince? I mentioned that. But if I get in the pulpit and I get in the flesh, then it's not... It's me in the place of God instead of God in the place of me. Is anybody getting that? And in our relationship with others, watch what he said right here. "And his brethren also went and fell down before his face." This is the dream being fulfilled.
They said, we will never. You know what this world's full of people? I will never bow to God. I will never bow to Jesus. But let me remind you of something. The Bible said every knee's going to bow. Every tongue's going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Everyone. It would behoove you to bow now. While it will make a difference not only in your life, but in your eternity. Because once you leave here, though you will bow one day, that's already been determined. It's too late to receive that forgiveness. It's too late to receive that mercy. And his brethren also went and fell down before his face, and they said, Behold, we be thy servants. They don't even care, Brother Brian, if they're called brethren anymore. We'll just be tickled to get to live and be a servant. Joseph had no such thing in mind. Even Jacob could not see the depth of the love of God that was in Joseph's heart. And Joseph responds and says, Fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save. Now the Word of God uses this phrase, much people alive, but I want you to understand an entire nation was spared because God used Joseph. I don't think I would ever be responsible for an entire nation being spared. But Brother Matthew, if just one more soul were to walk down the aisle, I would hope that God would allow me to live where I'm not in the place of God, but God is in the place of me. Brother Mike, we might get to see Peggy. He knows who I'm talking about. Just made a statement the other day in the ICU. I said, this could be the day that Jesus steps out on a cloud and says, it's enough, youngins. And this lady, she's not young. She never heard that before. I want to try to help her get ready so that when he steps out on that cloud, we can go together to be with him. In times of trial, in times of temptation, in times of treatment of others, how we treat others, I think it would be wonderful. I know it'll never leave my heart. Am I in the place of God? Or is God in the place of me? I will never read or quote or the verse in 1 Corinthians again without thinking, charity never faileth. God never fails. There's been songs written about that. Are you all working on that one? You are? Okay. Brian had to look at her and see, but they are. Her sister Danita said Liberace had to look at her and see. Amen. But there's a song that says, though I failed the Lord, he has never failed me. There have been times when if I would have just stopped for a moment, I believe it would have made a difference. Father, thank you this morning for your people. Thank you for your presence. I know, Lord, it's been a little bit different. Lord, sometimes I think when I need something that
it's possible that someone else might benefit from the same thing. And Lord, I learned a long time ago, it's better to go with God. Lord, your Spirit has been so real this morning in the meeting. Lord, the only thing that I can think of that would make it better if somebody would just decide, I want this Jesus. I'm tired of walking my own way. I'm tired of living for myself. I want this Jesus in my heart and in my life. Lord, help us as Christians, our Father, to realize, Lord, the impact that we can have on others along life's way. Lord, you never fail. Lord, I so remember the night that you saved me and how the love of God was shed abroad in my heart. God, it's not hard for me to love you people. It's not hard for me to love the Bible. It's not hard for me to love sinners. Lord, because you put a love that only you could put in my heart. I pray, Lord, the message today would be received in the spirit that's been given. God, that you'd help us all, Lord, to endeavor to be a reflection of your grace. We're going to sing this morning, or we'll have a time of invitation. Let's stand together. She's going to play.